Okay. So we're going to go back to our normal topic after taking off a while for Shavuos and other topics. Back to the mitzvos. This is mitzvah number 529, based on the count of the Sefer HaChinuch. And this is the mitzvah commonly known as Bal Tashchis, which means don't destroy, but it really comes out in two different ways in the Torah. So I want to go through the source to understand what it means. This is the very end of Parsha Shoftim. It's the book of Devarim, chapter 21. Chapter 20. It says, when a army lays a siege upon a city for many days, in order to fight it, to capture it, you cannot destroy the trees, lindoach alav garzein, to wave upon it an axe, ki mimenu socha, because for you eat from that tree, also sichro, so don't cut that tree, ki adam etz hasadeh, for a person is a tree of the field, or some say, is the tree of the field a person, that it should come before you in a siege. Then the Torah says, Rak Eitz Asher Teda, the tree that you know is not a Eitz Machal Hu, is not an edible tree, it's not fruit bearing. Oso Sashchis, that you could destroy, Vecharatza, cut down. Venisa Matsor, and you can then build up your siege on the city until you take down the city and you can and take over. So that's the short verses, but that's the mitzvah of lo sashchis, you cannot destroy. Essentially, this mitzvah is talking about fruit trees. It's not only mitzvah in time of war, we'll see, it's a mitzvah in general, but there's a prohibition in the Torah not to cut down fruit trees. What that means exactly, we'll see the details. You do see in here this phrase, ki aram etz hasadeh, for a man is the tree of a field. So commentaries take this in two ways. Rashi understands it more as a question, meaning, is the tree a human being? Meaning, I understand you have to fight a war, and that humans are at risk during a war, but what did the tree do? The tree's not a human being, so leave the tree alone. That's the way Rashi understands it. Other commentaries, Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, and the like, they say, ki adam etz hasadeh, that the tree is like a human being is not a question, it's a statement. Meaning the tree is the human being. Meaning the tree is our life force. The tree is essential for human life. Fruit trees will give us food to eat. And therefore, don't destroy the tree, because when you destroy the tree, you're destroying your own personal life source. It's something that gives us our nutrition and our ability to live. So the tree is the human being. It's very similar to a phrase the Torah uses, nefesh hu chovel. It talks about not taking different utensils used in making food as collateral. And the Torah describes, because we take these utensils as collateral, you're taking the person's life force away from him. He was going to use this to make flour. You took away his millstone, he can't make flour anymore. So too here, the tree is a human being, meaning the human being's life comes from the tree, therefore don't destroy it. So two ways to learn that phrase. Ultimately, the Torah is prohibiting us to cut down fruit trees at a time of war, and then beyond that, not just at war, anytime. The halacha is that if it's for the sake of the siege itself, it's allowed, meaning if you're just being destructive is the problem. But if you need to cut down that tree, or else, you know, enemies could hide in the tree, or it's blocking you from getting something to get, you're allowed to cut it down. The prohibition itself is lo sashchis, don't be destructive. Don't cut it down in a destructive manner. The Rambam says, if there's a purpose involved, then it's okay. So let's say that this tree is damaging other trees. So it's a fruit-bearing tree, and it's amongst other trees, and for whatever reason, this tree is not good for the orchard overall. Or let's say it's damaging your fields. Or let's say this tree has grown to the extent where the wood is more valuable than the fruits. So for you, it's more beneficial to cut it down than to actually leave it standing to bear fruit. Then you're allowed to cut it down. The prohibition does not apply. If it's in your way for building, that's a big dispute. Go ask your rabbi about that one. If you want to expand your house out and there's a fruit tree in the way, go ask the Shiloh. That's not clear what you can do in that case. But that's the purpose of cutting down trees. Cutting off branches without cutting the tree down itself is also a dispute. You know, some say you could cut off branches, some say you can't. So there's a lot of details involved in this. Now there's one famous idea that's built off of this.
If it's for the benefit of the tree, though, there's no problem.
Yeah, it's correct. If you're trying to help the tree grow by cutting off branches, you're pruning it. That's fine. Yeah, pruning is totally fine. But beyond just the fact that's prohibited, the Gemara mentions a very fascinating thing, a very surprising thing. The Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama that Rabbi Chanina said that his son Shivchas died young. And he was really a righteous person. And the only sin they could find on the record of Shivchas was that he cut down a fig tree prematurely. So the Torah doesn't prescribe a death penalty for cutting down fruit trees. Yet the Gemara says that Shivchas died young because he cut a fruit tree down. And this is actually picked up upon and discussed in later sources. Even though technically cutting down fruit trees is not a capital offense, there is considered some sort of danger in cutting down a fruit tree. Called Kabbalistically, mystically, there's some danger in cutting down fruit trees. So classically, you know, in Jewish life, cutting down fruit trees was kind of like taboo. And to this very day, cutting down a fruit tree itself is considered a possibly, even when it's allowed, possibly a dangerous act. Something to avoid and be very careful with.
Why did he do it?
Why did he do it? Maybe he thought it was dying and it wasn't dying. I don't know why he did it, but it says it's premature. I mean, it could be that it was kind of on its way out and he cut it down too early. Because if the fruit tree dies, you can cut it down. If it's no longer producing fruit, you can cut it down. So it could be Shivchas was just a little bit too quick at the axe and didn't give it enough time to fully die. So many ideas are explained as to what the danger of cutting down a fruit tree might be. Ultimately, it seems to be some sort of more Kabbalistic or mystical idea. I think just one simple understanding would be that the whole prohibition is when you're cutting it down to do it in a destructive way. Well, if you're being destructive, so then Hashem, as it were, is destructive back with you. Now, you're cutting down something which is a life force for the world, so Hashem will then cut down, God forbid, the person's life force. So it kind of goes together. We look at the fruit tree as really the source of life for us. So if we're messing with our life source, what?
Lack of a karza tov.
Right, but even that, why is it so severe that it should warrant a death penalty? So I'm taking you a little bit further, not just a karza tov, but more that you're dealing with life itself. And the fruit tree is life itself. You know, fruits are the food that we eat. And when you destroy that in a way which is inappropriate, so Hashem responds in kind. That could be one explanation. Again, ultimately, it seems to be more of a Kabbalistic idea. But one, definitely, if you have a fruit tree which you want to cut down, speak to your rabbi first. You know, it's not a simple issue. I know someone told me recently, a few years ago, that, you know, when Pepco was like trimming trees in the area, they wanted to cut down a fruit tree that was in their front yard, that was in the way of the power lines. So I guess if Pepco is doing it and you're not involved, it's probably okay. If they're non-Jews cutting it down, you don't have to worry too much about it. But these things do come up. If you want to expand your house, there are stories of people who want to expand their homes, but they want to cut the fruit tree down. So they'll leave the tree growing through the house and expand around the fruit tree. And I've heard stories like that as well. If it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, it's okay to cut down. That's not an issue. It's only a fruit-bearing tree. Some do allow you to cut down your tree by means of using a goy. So you could have a non-Jew cut the tree down for you. Some say you shouldn't. Again, ask your rabbi if it comes up practically. So that's the provision of cutting down fruit trees. Now, besides fruit trees, this issue extends far beyond that. And this is probably the more well-known and popular usage of the term baltashkas. Baltashkas we often hear as a term being used for not being wasteful in general. And that has a source. I mean, it's sourced in this mitzvah, but the Gemara definitely explains this mitzvah to extend to that as well. And the Rambam says, if you were to break dishes for no reason, tear clothing, destroy structures and buildings, waste your food and drink, etc., it is being done in a wasteful, destructive way. That's also part of baltashkas too. So it's not only fruit trees, but extends out to being wasteful in general. Some say this is a rabbinic extension of it. Some say it's actually a deraisa, a Torah extension of it. So that's unclear if this is a rabbinic law or Torah law. But it's definitely prohibited based on baltashkas to be destructive in any way. To take anything you have and just waste it in a wasteful manner. It doesn't mean you can't throw away the leftovers on your table. I mean, if it's food that no one's going to eat, you're not being destructive anymore, you're just cleaning up. That's okay to do. But it means being wasteful in a way which has no purpose. That's what baltashkas actually is. And I would look at this as not just a prohibition, but it's more of an attitude we have towards the world, towards the possessions that we have. It's a much deeper idea than just not being wasteful, not wasting your money, and not being wasteful of food. So I want to share with you a few different approaches to this as to what the message of this would be. But again, the primary source is cutting down fruit trees, and then the extension of that is also being wasteful in general. So I want to share first the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation of this mitzvah. Why should one not be wasteful? So Sefer HaChinuch, he really terms it as an idea of trying to want good for all people. I mean the following. He says the attitude of chassidim and anshei maisa, people who are pious and righteous, is to want the best for all people in the world and not to destroy anything that's useful. Because, you know, maybe I don't need it, but someone else can use it. This fruit tree over here, I don't have a need for a fruit tree. You know, I have plenty of food. I don't even like apples, so I don't need the apple tree. But my neighbor likes apples, my friends like apples, and someone else might like apples. So instead of being wasteful, why don't I go and share the apples with somebody else? Let's say I want to go and just break some dishes. Okay, so maybe I don't need the dishes. But there's someone down the block who could use the dishes. There's somebody poor who could use the dishes. There's someone else who would appreciate these dishes. So if I want to look at possessions in this world, whether my own possessions or things out there in general, in a very positive way, and want to be able to share with other people, being destructive is counterproductive, because then I can't share with others. I'm not trying to look out for the good of other people. It's a very selfish act. People who are pious and righteous, Sefer Chinuch says, would be repulsed by those who are destructive, because they deprive others of good. So this is one attitude towards possessions in general. I want other people to benefit. I want the world to be benefited by all my possessions. So even though I might reach a point where I don't need this, and maybe for me it's fun just to go around destroying things, light things on fire and smash them and break them and chop them down, but how is that benefiting other people? It's not. If I want others to benefit, I should be sure that everything is maintained in a proper way so they can benefit. The reason this is initially said at war, it seems, I mean, the initial mitzvah was spoken about in terms of a siege at war. It is the way of armies in general, historically, just to go around and just, you know, scorching the land, destroying everything in their path. It's not always just a tactic to help bring down the enemy. I was trying to play at the emotions of the enemies. Not only am I going to kill you, but look, I'm destroying your land. But that was just a destructive act very often. It wasn't really strategic, besides just the emotional impact of it. So here too, not strategically, but you know, in terms of just benefiting other people, if I have a purpose for destroying something, I could do it. But just to get rid of it, that's the problem. But you do find this destructive attitude at war. And that's something the Torah is trying to speak against. When the Jewish people are fighting, you have to do your job. You know, if you have to fight a war, fight a war. But don't destroy needlessly, you know, during these battles. So that's one approach of Sefer HaChinuch. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch speaks about this at length in his book Choriv. You know, Choriv is a sefer he wrote about all the different reasons for mitzvos. And Rav Hirsch in general speaks in a very beautiful poetic terms. And he goes through a few different approaches to what Baal Tashchis actually means for us. And his approach in general is just being wasteful of resources that Hashem gave to us. Not because others can use them, but appreciating what we have. And not being wasteful because Hashem gave it to us as a gift. So he actually brings it out in a few different ways. Where first says, the human being is given a beautiful world. Hashem gave to us a gorgeous world with so much potential and so much we can do with it. We're meant to appreciate the world, and we're meant to be good stewards of this world. The Torah says in Bereishis, the Kivshua, Adam is given the directive, you shall conquer the world, master the world. Take over the world, master it, utilize the world for your own benefit. And we're supposed to do that. Harness the world and bring out what's within the world. That's your job. If you're being destructive, he says, number one, you're denying your responsibility as the caretaker of God's world. The human being is supposed to be the one who takes the world and makes it productive, makes it efficient, and makes it fruitful, as it were. And if he said, and Rav Hirsch says, if you're being destructive, it's an action, it's an animalistic action, a maisa behema, he says, because humans are supposed to be the ones to bring out productivity of this world. And if you start just destroying things around you, you're sinking down to the world of an animal. That's what you're doing. So that's his first point, is that just appreciate the world God gave us and know our role in the world. Our role in the world is to make the world fruitful. That's our job. Hashem said, here's the world, go for it. If you start being destructive, you're going against your purpose as a human being. He then says further, he uses the term in Hebrew, bizbuz, you know, being careless, you know, with your money or possessions. He says that when you're careless with your property, when you're careless with your money, so what you're doing now is you're wasting the gifts that Hashem has given you. Hashem has bestowed upon us all a certain amount of possessions. And that's what Hashem wants us to use and appreciate. If I'm wasteful, then I'm not giving the proper hakaras hatov, gratitude towards Hashem. I'm not appreciating Hashem's gifts to me. I'm not using what Hashem gave me efficiently and properly. Imagine that you're given an allowance at work, you know, from the boss to use these certain expenses, and you just sort of waste them. You're gonna be fired. And say you're not using company money properly. You're taking your spending account and you're taking advantage of it. So Hashem says, I'm giving you this spending account. These are your possessions. This is your money. This is for you to use in a responsible, efficient, productive, honest manner. And now if you just start wasting it away, tossing it in the garbage, smashing it, destroying it for no reason at all, you're just not being responsible with Hashem's world. You're wasting the gifts that Hashem has given you. And that's a terrible offense.
What about
time? Also, he talks about that also. Good, very good. I'll get there in a minute. But then he says the flip side of it. So there could be, let's say somebody's not wasteful. Let's say somebody's very stingy. You know, I hoard everything. I keep it locked up in the closet. I put all my money in the bank account. Don't give anybody else. He says that's as good as wasting it as well, because no one could benefit from that. The point is that you should use it to be productive. So if you're going to be stingy and no one touches my money, no one touches my property, I'm selfish, I keep it all for myself. So Rav Hirsch says that's as good as being wasted, because no one benefits from it. So whether you're overly, you're overly wasteful, or whether you're overly stingy, either way you're being wasteful. Because it's not just about where does the money go, it's about is the money being used productively in this world. If someone gives you money to invest, so if you make a foolish investment, then he gets upset. But if you put it in the bank and don't invest, he also gets upset. Because either way, his money is being wasted. His money is not being used like it's supposed to be used. So Hashem says, I give you all this money, all this property, and I want you to use it in a responsible, effective, and productive way. I don't want you to waste it, I don't want you to save it. I want you to use it properly, in the way it's supposed to be used. The world's meant to be appreciated and used productively. That's the purpose of Adam. That's why Hashem created the human being. That's what we're supposed to do in this world. So Rav Hirsch even extends it, this is what you were saying before. Rav Hirsch extends it not just to possessions and money, but how about energy? How about time? How about the investment of ourselves into different tasks in life? He says, if you have a pursuit that's not worth all that much, if you put so much effort into it, it's also wasteful. Because beyond possessions and beyond money, Hashem gave us our energy, our time, our strength, our talents, and that also is meant to be used in an efficient, productive manner. So if there's this project, you know it's going to take a lot of effort for very little benefit, and you put in hours and hours and hours of effort for very little at the end. Sometimes you don't know, so we can't blame you for that one. But you know that I'm putting all this time into it, and I'm not going to come out much at the end. So you've just wasted your energy and your talent, which could have been used in a much more productive and fruitful way. So first, it's also about tashchis, because it's not just about money and possessions, it's also about the person. You could take wasting time. Now we have limited time in this world, 100 to 120 years, and to waste that time is also when we're being wasteful of the gifts Hashem gave us. And we're put in this world to be productive, efficient human beings, utilizing all the gifts of Hashem. And if we neglect that, then we're also violating Baal Tashchis.
What kind of efficiency are we actually supposed to be working at? 100 is ideal, but reasonable.
Reasonably, I think reasonable is the right term. I'm saying even when it comes to Baal Tashchis, you're not expected to eat every single morsel on your plate. You understand, some things are going in the trash, right? So if you leave over a few beans in the corner of your plate, you say, Baal Tashchis, obviously there's a reasonable amount of time that no one's perfect. But we know we have to be working in a way we do our best. That's what we would say. So that's the push of a verse. Now there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos which also very much speaks to the point over here. The Mishnah says, this is in the fourth chapter, it's the third Mishnah in the fourth chapter of Pirkei Avos. It says there, Alti Baz Lechol Davar. You should not disgrace any item. You shouldn't push aside any item. And it says, V'ein lecha davar she'ein lo makom, because there's no item in this world that has no place. So many commentaries explain, don't look lightly at any single item in this world and mistreat it, or act carelessly with it, because Hashem put it here for a reason. I mean, it's not just that I have to be productive, but every single item that I have has a specific purpose to it. Why does Hashem create X, Y, or Z? Each thing has its own earmark as to how it's supposed to be used. So Hashem gave me some money, and He wants me to use it in certain ways. Hashem gave me a dish. Hashem gave me a shirt. Hashem gave me a car. Hashem gave me a bowl. And all these things are supposed to be used in certain ways. They're given to me with a purpose. And if I am baz l'chol davar, if I just disgrace it, if I just push it aside and say, this is not important. This bowl is useless. I don't need this bowl. So again, at a certain point you say, my cabinet's too full and my bowls are cracking. Okay, so at that point it's reasonable to throw it away. But just to mistreat and not appreciate your property, you're doing what the Mishnah says not to do. You're being baz l'chol davar. What you're doing is you are pushing off something, looking at it lightly and saying it's a useless item. There's nothing in this world that's useless. If Hashem made it, it's not useless. It has a purpose. Everything has its place. It says about people as well in the same Mishnah. It says, don't push off any person. Every person has his or her place as well in this world. So just like people are like that, our discussion now is items like that as well. If Hashem gave it to me in my control, He wants me using it for a purpose. And wasting it is not just being unappreciative, but denying Hashem's running of this world. There has to always be this understanding that whatever comes my way is meant for me. Whether it be a possession, whether it be money, whether it be something for a talent. Then Hashem gave me that talent. That's the recipe that's good for me. I gave, I think, an analogy recently that someone mentioned to me, but I'll say it again. Everyone has their glasses prescription. And if I want to trade glasses with someone in this room, it's not going to be good for either of us. Because that's my prescription. And that's what's for me, and that's what's for you. So I say the possessions. Hashem gave me my possessions, He gave you your possessions. So this is a good thought process in terms of jealousy, that your possessions aren't good for me. That's one part you can use this analogy for. But just to know, but this is catered towards me. It's tailored to fit me. What I have in my life is tailored for me. And it's good for me to use them. If I don't wear my glasses, then I'm also in trouble, because I'm not using them properly. So either way, I have to understand what the possessions I have are meant for me. So there's hashkacha, there's divine providence, which gives us in life what we need to succeed. And as soon as I discount any of the Hashem gave me, I'm selling myself short, and I'm denying the fact that Hashem gave it to me for a reason. And that's a big statement to make. And this is the famous idea of Yaakov Avinu. It says that the Chazal tell us that Yaakov crossed back over the river to get his small jugs. And everyone always thinks it's a funny statement. Why would Yaakov cross over a dangerous river to pick up small jugs? But the explanation is very simple, because Yaakov understood that every single jug in his possession was given to him, earmarked for a purpose. And if Yaakov left behind one jug, Yaakov is now saying, I can't fulfill my mission in life, because I'm missing a jug Hashem gave me. And Hashem gave me everything for a reason. I need to have that. Without that, I'm in trouble. Now that's if you look at it as it's insignificant, then you're denying it as something Hashem gave you in this world to succeed. So this is a very, very significant idea in terms of viewing possessions in life. So we have three approaches now. The Sefer Chinuch says it's about wanting good for all people. If I waste things, then I'm denying others of good. Rav first explains it more as being wasteful of Hashem's resources. And furthermore, beyond that, based on the Mishnah Perkei Avos, we have to understand that everything has its place in our lives. And if I don't use what Hashem gave me in a fruitful and productive way, I'm selling myself short, I'm not fulfilling my purpose in life, and I'm also denying the fact that Hashem placed it in my possession. So three different perspectives on wasting. Now you do find that people will say, don't throw away your food, it's baltashchis, and you find this term used a lot, in common everyday Jewish speak. And I think often it's kind of misplaced and misused, just because that's not what it means exactly. Because again, if there's a purpose in what you're doing, then it's not baltashchis. And if it's reasonable that there's going to be waste sometimes, it's also not baltashchis, because human life does create waste. Now probably we make more waste in our generation than ever in history, I would guess, based on our lifestyles. So it could be we are too wasteful. I agree to that. But in general, it's not about just being a little bit wasteful. It's about being wasteful in a way which is destructive, which is not reasonable, which is not expected of a human being. This concept is actually a very essential way to understand the Jewish view on the environment. One of the hot topics in modern times is going green, environmentalism. What's the balance in this exactly? And it's very important to understand the Torah's approach to these things. So I can't say I'm telling you the entire scope of the Torah's approach to the environment. But one very, very important part of this is understanding baltashchis in the right way. And there's two sides of it. Number one is to understand the world's given to the human being to master and to utilize for his or her own purposes. That's clearly a Torah viewpoint, Torah hashkafa, that's the way Torah views it. Because as opposed to some very extreme environmentalists who would say that we are infringing upon the rest of the world by taking from a tree or an animal. That's not a Jewish viewpoint. We say the world is here for us. The world's here for the human being. That's the pasuk means in Bereishis v'kiv shuha. Hashem tells Adam, I'm giving you the world. I want you to master it. You should master the world and use it for your own benefit. And we are allowed to cut down trees and kill animals for our benefit. That's a clear. That's very clear in the Torah. However, it doesn't mean that we can be destructive or wasteful, because those are two separate things. If I'm doing it responsibly, then that's fine. But to be destructive and wasteful is prohibited by the Torah. So you have to draw the line between what is for human use, and then that is that's positive, and what is just being destructive and wasteful, and that's negative. And there's a balance sometimes, because sometimes there's a little human use and tremendous destruction. So is that really what Hashem wants out of us? Like we said before, sometimes investing too much for little benefit is also not good. So if my benefit is this, and the toll on the environment is this, so I can't imagine that's what Hashem wants out of us either. That's not mastering the environment. Destroying the environment. That's not mastering the environment. There's a medrash in Bereishis that Hashem tells Adam, "I'm putting you into a beautiful world. Be careful not to destroy it." That's what Adam is told. So which means that you can use it and appreciate its beauty, but it's not here for you to destroy. It's here for you to use, but not destroy. So I think that this is a very important approach. To how to view the environment from a Torah lens. Again, there's more details to this as well. But overall, we see that the world is here for us, that we are allowed to and encouraged to utilize the world for our benefits, whether it be animals, whether it be the land, whether it be the trees. However, you have to draw the line between being beneficial and fruitful, but not being destructive. I'm certainly saying that, you know, if you eat animals, you know, you are infringing upon the cow's rights. That's not a Jewish concept. You know, the Torah says you're certainly allowed to eat meat, and that is there for human usage. So you have to always draw that line and understand that balance. That's a very important thing. When it comes to the idea of like endangered species and stuff, that's more of a different discussion. You know, how Hashem views species and what's our responsibility towards species. But at least in general, how to view the environment, I think this is a very, very important ticket to understanding that. So that's the idea of Baltashlis. There's one other point kind of tucked in over here that I wanted to discuss, which is this verse that it says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. When the Torah describes not cutting down fruit trees, it says, because the human being, or I mean, you could define it a few ways, but either is the tree human being, or the human being is a tree, or the trees are life, a few ways you could take that verse. But no matter how you're going to interpret it, it's comparing a tree to a human being. That's very, very clear. And this is actually a mashal which is spoken about, you know, by the Gemara, by many sources afterwards, that there is a comparison of the human being to a tree. The most prominent place you find it, which I don't have in front of me, is in Tehillim. The very first parak in Tehillim. Maybe there's like a Tehillim somewhere. Let's see. A sitter over there. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, that'll be in there.
A tower is compared to a tree.
It's Chaim He, right. Thank you very much. So the very first chapter in Tehillim speaks about how a tzaddik. But this is fine. I have it here. It's fine. Thank you. But it's okay. I got it. It's fine. Thank you. So it talks about the tzaddik who learns Torah day and night. And then it says, he is like a tree planted on water, a shapiro yutem beito, that gives out fruit at the right time, and his leaves do not wither, and anything that he does, he succeeds. And then it says, but the wicked are not like this, they're like just like the shells of grain that the wind just blows right away. So the tzaddik is compared to the tree that's rooted and planted on water. It's very fruitful. And the rasha, the wicked, is compared to just this little shell that's blown away by the wind. So there you have this comparison of the tree to the human being. You have it in the Torah, you have it in Tehillim. You have it throughout. You have it in many, many places. It talks about in Pirkei Avos, how somebody who has the fear of Hashem, which would preceding their wisdom, that person is like a tree planted, you know, very firmly, and no winds are going to come and shake them and blow them down. There's always this comparison of the tree to the human being. So what's the idea? There's also a famous concept that the word in Hebrew, Eitz, it has the letters Ayin and Sadi, or some say Tzadik, because the word Eitz, a tree, if you look at it, Ayin Sadi, you can look at the Tzadik and you see a comparison to a tree. So those letters actually themselves suggest the idea of the human being or the Tzadik being compared to a tree. So what's that comparison? So many speak about this in different ways, but in my mind, I think the comparison really fits very well in the following way. The way a person develops into a great person, a righteous person, a noble person, it's a long process, similar to a tree. And the first thing you have to do is plant a seed. You know, all of us need to plant seeds. You know, you have in yourself different ideals you're trying to reach. You want to be somebody who is wise, is kind, is giving, is patient, is compassionate. You have all these different things you want to plant in yourself. So we know it doesn't happen overnight. We know these things take a long time to settle into person and to grow in a person. So you have to plant it. You plant the seed. Like a seed for a tree, you plant in the ground. But between that seed being planted and the tree giving out fruits, there's a long time. You know, it'll be several years till you see a single fruit from that tree. Because what has to happen? It has to take root. First, the seed itself has to be able to take root in the ground. And then it starts growing upwards, but it's always growing out deeper and stronger roots. Because for us to really grow as people, what's most important in the beginning is to plant the right seeds and to develop roots. With water and sunlight, the tree grows. So, you know, we know that Torah is compared to water. We know that Hashem is compared to the light of the sun. So you have these ideals planted within. You try to get the seed to take root in the ground, you know, based on learning Torah, based on trying to connect with Hashem, based on trying to grow as a person. And the seed takes root, and the roots are, if the roots don't grow out, then the tree is going to topple over. So you need to plant those roots first. Slowly the tree grows up. And then finally, years later, you know, after the roots are very, very strong and the tree has grown taller, eventually we might see some fruits. Because nobody's really ready to give out to others and to influence the world until they themselves are fully rooted and planted in the ground. You have to be yourself very, very stable and very, very rooted. As we say that term all the time, the person's very rooted. That's the term we use in English all the time. You have to be rooted in order to be able to, if you can't influence others if you yourself are very unstable. If you're very stable in who you are, you're very strong in your roots and in your ideals, at that point you start giving off fruit yourself. So that's the vision of the tzaddik, the deep roots, and the seeds, the deep roots, the seeds develop. Only eventually, years down the road, do the fruits come. And then you yourself, you feel fruitful, you feel you've succeeded, and you're able to also impact and influence others in a very positive way. So it's something for us to know to work upon, that we have to know that we have to be patient. When you plant the tree, you have to be patient until you see the fruits. Even in halacha, you're not allowed to eat the fruits for the first 3 years. It's called orla. I mean, even if it did produce a fruit in year one, that fruit's off limits, because that fruit's not going to be a good fruit, at least spiritually.
You know? Chutzlaretz too?
Yeah, Chutzlaretz too. Yeah, what was the whole world? Chutzlaretz too. Because even if maybe it looks like a good fruit, but the Torah is saying, if it's not rooted well, then those fruits are not good fruits quite yet. You know, you have to wait for at least 3 years to have those fruits. It takes patience, it takes time, but we know the good things come to those who wait. You know, that's the idea of patience. And if you wait and you let that tree develop, eventually you're looking at this big tree giving off all these delicious fruits, you know, that's standing tall and strong above the rest. That takes time. So the comparison, ki adam etz hasadeh, that the human being is like the fruit tree, it's a very, very important comparison and really teaches us a process of growth in our own lives. And that's why it says in Tehillim that the tzaddik is going to be viewed as the etz shasul palgemayim. He is the tree which is planted on water that gives the fruit at the right time. And at that point, because it's planted in the right way and it's taken root, the leaves don't wither, and then you see success. So that's a very, very important part of growth in a human being. So just to sum up, we have here, first and foremost, a prohibition of cutting down fruit trees. And that's a very practical law. If you have a fruit tree in your yard, you can't cut it down. If the tree is dying, if it's more valuable to cut it down than to leave it, then it would be permissible. But yet we said there is some sort of spiritual danger in cutting down fruit trees overall, and so it's consult a rav before you cut a fruit tree down. That's number one. Beyond that, we extend this to being wasteful in general. And we had our three approaches as to why one should not be so wasteful, and how to view the environment based on the Torah perspective. And then we spoke about the human being being compared to that fruit tree. And when you have that comparison, you understand that roots have to come before you can see the product. We wait years to see our own productivity sometimes, but we realize that it's all part of the process. And it's not an instant overnight fix. We have to be able to understand we're building our roots, we're growing our trunk, and eventually the fruits will come. Yeah, because ultimately the tzaddik is able to have that patience and growth, and he gives out the fruits at the end. He's the one influencing others and influencing the world.